A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
Z-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lopotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, and tonight we're going to be talking about the West Mesa unsolved murder case. This is kind of a recent one, actually. Had you guys ever heard about this before?
I've never heard about this.
No. I had no idea about it. So I don't know if I had heard about this when, you know, the case was like unfolding, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I didn't hit.
It really wasn't that long ago. So.
Not really. I mean, I got semi-clear memories of 2009.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I will say 2008 definitely took a couple years off my life, probably. So 2009 probably drying out a little bit, maybe compared to that. So yeah, like I got like flashes. So yeah, but yeah, so yeah, fuck it, let's get into this thing. All right, so the West Mesa murders represent one of the most chilling and unresolved serial killer cases in modern American history, centered in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, nice. Have either of you guys ever been to New Mexico?
No, I've been to Arizona. I've not been to New Mexico, but I've actually wanted to go to Albuquerque.
Albuquerque's pretty cool.
I've been through there.
Yeah,
I didn't go to Albuquerque, but
I took a left turn there once. So
yeah, New Mexico is sweet.
But New Mexico is pretty sweet.
That's where the Continental Divide was, I think.
Okay,
that's where Breaking Bad took place.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks just like it.
Yeah, I've been fucking all over that bitch. Like I've been to Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Roswell. Like, New Mexico is pretty sweet.
I don't think we really stopped in New Mexico. I think we went straight through to Arizona.
Okay.
From Texas.
Nice. Guess you should stop in Roswell. Roswell's cool.
It was like way off
the, I know.
The
Roswell's the like south. Yeah, it's like way more south, I think, if I remember.
Yeah.
So
I think we went kind of upper middle, like through.
Okay.
I'm thinking of Arizona.
Okay.
But you know, it was like because when we got to Flagstaff, I was kind of surprised because it was so like mountainous. And, like, there was snow, I think.
It was. Yeah. I've been there too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, we didn't go on the southern end. Though it was deserty for sure in New Mexico.
Like, oh, 100%. Yeah, it's cool. Like all like the buildings look. Oh, they've got the like Pueblo type fucking architecture, which is really cool.
I like how they keep like that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like everything's like teal too.
If you order a McChicken at McDonald's, they automatically put hot sauce on it, which is just fucking fabulous. So
I got one of those Hatch chili burgers. They do too. They're like New Mexico famous burger. That shit looks good.
Nice.
You know, like in movies when they talk about, you know, the American Southwest or Mexico, there's always like a yellowy or orangish like tint. I just picture that's what it looks like in real life.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
It does. Like all the buildings and signs are like teal blue.
Yeah, dude, it's really not that far off, to be honest. It's way closer than I would
love to go back down there. I have one of my good friends from high school moved down to New Mexico.
And oh, nice.
I would love to go back down there.
Well, pro tip, if you're going to Roswell, get there before 5 o'clock. Because everything closes at 5 o'clock, pretty much. Like the town just shuts down. Like all the stuff.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yep, everything just shuts down. It's I don't know. So yeah, if you're going there, get there around like noon. So you can like walk around and you know see all the goofy little you know UFO shops and stuff like that, and you know you got a chance to talk to people at school.
Yeah. Now I will say real quick, when I first saw the West Mesa murders, I don't want to say I got a little like excited about it, but I stayed in Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm like, oh my God, is this right where I stayed?
This like right where it was.
Oh, yeah. But it was New Mexico. I'm like, oh, still close. Not where I stayed, but.
I mean, pretty, yeah, I'm closer. You were closer there than you are now. So.
Yeah. Right.
So. All right, so between 2001 and 2005, at least 11 women and girls, predominantly young Hispanic women involved in sex work and struggling with drug addiction, were murdered and buried in shallow graves on the city's undeveloped West Mesa. It was a vast, arid expanse on the outskirts of town. The case actually came to light in 2009 when the remains were accidentally discovered. Exposing not only the brutality of the crimes, but also systemic issues and how law enforcement handled reports of missing vulnerable individuals.
Yeah. Did you get into how the bone was found?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got that. They dubbed him the West Mesa Bone Collector by the media.
Okay. Too cool of a name. Too cool of a goddamn real life murderer.
Yep. I hate when they just give these murderers fantastic names.
I know.
It's like, that's like their whole goal, probably.
Pretty much.
Hell yeah. I'm like, I'm the fucking bone collector.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's fucking awesome.
The bone collector.
Seriously, though, like, just give it a shot. See if it, like, leads to a drop in serial killing. Just start giving these guys embarrassing nicknames.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the poopy pants killer struck again, you know, or something like that. You know, like, I don't know. Just stop giving them awesome names.
Right.
So that's what he was dubbed by the media. The killer, or possibly killers, has never been identified or brought to justice despite multiple suspects and ongoing investigations. The murders have been linked to broader concerns about sex trafficking rings operating across the Southwest, targeting marginalized women during high traffic events like the New Mexico State Fair. No, watch out for those fucking carnies, man.
Yeah, I would love to go to that.
That would be sweet, yeah. okay, so Albuquerque's West Mesa. So the area was slated for residential development as part of the city's expansion, but as we know, 2008, the housing bubble delayed construction, where we had that big recession in 2008. Probably why I was getting so fucked up at the time, honestly.
Yeah, because you remember that, right, Bubna? 2008?
Kind of. I remember it slightly. I remember shit kind of sucked, and I did everything I could to make it better. So, during this period, Albuquerque faced significant challenges with drug addiction, poverty, and sex work, particularly along Central Avenue, which it was a historic Route 66 corridor, which is kind of cool. And that was where many of the victims were last seen. So, like, that was like the Central Avenue was like the spot.
Like the red light district.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I saw something the cops called that area the war zone.
I did. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was just going to ask if this is what they were referring to when they said the war zone.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay.
I would like to say if people call it the war zone, it's probably a good place to not go.
Yeah.
Are you hanging out the war zone?
Yeah. Unless it's like a cool bar. Like, or something like that, but...
Yeah, the name of a bar.
Yeah, but, if it's, like, the name of a bar, like, I would go to a bar called the War Zone, but if there's a neighborhood called the War Zone, I don't really want to go there. Yeah, like, I'm good.
Going armed.
Yeah. So, satellite imagery from 2003 to 2005 later revealed tire tracks and disturbed soil at the burial site.
First of all, I thought that was fucking fantastic. Yeah, I never even thought of using Google Earth as...
Yeah. I know, that's just wild.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, of course. Why wouldn't you? That is such a fantastic thing to use the satellite imaging.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, with all that, you know, that tells you that dude was pretty much coming back and forth disposing bodies, like, over the years. Yeah, so.
I mean, so it almost says, you know, that's not even a great place to... To try to hide your crimes.
Yeah.
Because it's like footprints in the snow with like driving in the desert sand is you're you got tracks.
Oh, 100%, dude. I don't know. Well, the murders also abruptly stopped in 2005, coinciding with increased development and the death of one key suspect. Well, this key suspect, like you were saying with the footprints in the snow, he didn't seem like he was the smartest guy.
No.
So I could see him doing something stupid like that. All right. Okay. So the case highlights the vulnerabilities of sex workers and drug users who often face stigma and underreporting. Many victims had histories of running away, domestic issues, or involvement in high-risk lifestyles, which may have contributed to delayed investigations. I mean, that was definitely like one of the things that cops would be like, well, you know, they probably run off again. So, well,
right.
Turn up, you know.
Even, yeah. Like you say, it may have contributed. It totally contributed.
It 100%
did. There was, I know one of them, I know we're going to go into all of the victims, like, but there were some victims that weren't even, I remember one that wasn't even put in as missing for a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because they live such transient lifestyles and it sucks, but it's true. When you live such a transient lifestyle, you know, you want to take all missing people seriously, clearly. But like sometimes if people just come and go as they please, like that's real hard to do, you know, especially when, you know, you hate to just, you know, not look for these people, but it does make it so much harder.
Oh, yeah.
When then you got, you know, all the people they associate with on a daily basis are drug addicts or prostitutes, other prostitutes who are not like as likely to go to the police, you know, but, and plus they know as well as anyone, like, yeah, well, probably drifted off to another town or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, let's see where we're at here. This is fucking goofy. But an anonymous tip to the Albuquerque Police Department and the FBI suggested involvement of a suspect from El Salvador, but this lead went nowhere. So I did like somebody just call them in and be like, it's this dude from El Salvador. And like, that's it. That's the extent of the fucking tip.
Well,
like,
I know that as we go on, there were several tips or rumors, I should say, from the get-go.
Oh, 100%. There were rumors about fucked up shit before this was even discovered.
There were rumors that some of these people were murdered and buried in West Mesa that were just dismissed even way before these bones were even found.
Yeah.
And they were just unconfirmed rumors that never went anywhere, which is crazy.
Nope. By 2009, the discovery transformed the area into a massive crime scene with forensic teams excavating over 92 acres. And that excavation too was fucking intense.
Yeah,
like they had heavy machinery in there. Like I heard like they were digging some holes as deep as 18 feet.
Yeah.
Looking for more bodies when you know, shit ended up hitting the fan.
I mean, maybe the sand like shifts that much.
Well, they think the construction did a lot because they remember it was already the dirt and the sand was already being moved around.
It was.
Because construction. There was flooding or something.
There was a flooding issue with the neighborhood. Yeah, so they had to put that in. And
yeah.
So that's partially, that's why it got, like, exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Well, speaking of let's get into how this was actually exposed. On February 2nd, 2009, there was a woman named Christine Ross who was walking her dog Roxy on a dirt trail near 118th Street Southwest on the West Mesa. The dog unearthed a human femur bone. Which Ross, according to what I saw, basically, Ross's sister was a nurse. So she basically she's like, hey, the dog pulled out this weird fucking bone. She took a picture of it, sent it to her sister. And then her sister replied back saying, yeah, that's a femur. Yeah. So you should probably call the cops. Call the cops like right now.
And this actually kind of made me giggle a little bit because like as a nurse myself, it's just funny because also people find out you're a nurse. Hey, you're a nurse. And yeah. then he's like, oh no, what are they going to ask me? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. You're a nurse.
Hey, look at this.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. yeah. Like, dude, I don't know everything, but I, jeez. But it just, I don't know, that just reminded me of this. Hey, sister, yeah. you're a nurse.
There's an episode of
Is this a human bone? Like
that's okay. pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think the dog's name was Ruka, though.
Yeah, it wasn't Roxy.
Was it Ruka?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Just to give you credit to the dog here.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, we definitely want to get the dog's name right. Yeah, why the fuck did it say Roxy? That's dumb. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that we cleared that up because, mm-hmm. yeah, the real hero of this case.
It really is.
Ruka.
Yeah, so, she blew the lid on this one.
Pretty much.
They have a nice memorial for her in the... later we could talk. They built a park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Yeah, in the park. Oh, that's cool. Nice. Glad to say.
For the
glad
dog?
To see that they included the dog.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
So that's awesome. Awesome. Nice. All right. So initial skepticism gave way to horror as the APD, the Albuquerque Police Department, and forensic anthropologists uncovered a mass grave containing the skeletal remains of 11 women and one unborn fetus.
Ugh.
The bodies were buried in shallow pits, some as little as 2 to 3 feet deep, scattered across a 100-yard area that had been partially graded for housing. The excavation lasted over a month with heavy machinery used to sift through the desert soil. The site had, yeah, like we talked about, they had built the retaining wall to address a flooding issue and inadvertently disturbed some of the remains. Unfortunately, though, because pretty much all they found were bones, identification was challenging due to the decomposition. And especially, like, out in the desert and with the heat and everything like that, like, shit's gonna fucking decompose faster.
Beaten by the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and there's no, I mean, they didn't find any clothing. They didn't find anything.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think they said that some bodies were just kind of, they think were just naked. Some were wrapped in plastic,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as finding anything for identification wise, or even finding anything like, how did they die? They had nothing. They had nothing but these bones. And it was funny because I was watching one other, you know, a podcaster who was like, I don't understand how the construction workers didn't see these bones when they were unearthing this stuff and, you know, all this stuff. Like, how did people not see this? And then I saw another podcaster go, hey, you know, I've lived in the South for, you know, I'm from the South. When you walk around, you see a lot of animal bones, like in the desert and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
So it's like, so they could kind of see, like, if you're not looking for human remains, you know,
no.
So, but if you see a bone or something, you might chalk it up to it's just animal bones because they said that was pretty common down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, on one end, that person was like, why didn't construction notice that? Well, first of all, they're not looking for that, okay?
Yeah.
They're moving dirt. It's just not something they're paying attention to. And if you do see one bone, animal bones, you know?
Yeah, they probably thought it was like an armadillo or some shit. I mean, whatever the fuck is down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, they didn't see a human skull or they would have said something, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. I've heard of like plate or things like I can't think of an exact example, but like people not reporting shit like that because it would take there'd be a whole investigation. They couldn't like continue their job. You know, they have to do all this stuff basically. And this did happen, but like they obviously couldn't build houses there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, and like so, if somebody told the boss and the boss was like, don't say anything. Like,
maybe. I mean, maybe.
What is this, like poltergeist? Like, the fuck?
It was cheaper to not dig up the bodies.
You just moved the headstones, but you left the bodies. You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Poltergeist is awesome.
Yeah. I would really hope that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I really just feel like it's just some, you know, guys with bulldozers just...
Oh, easily
not paying
could
attention
have been
to
that. Exactly. You can't like see everything. You know?
Nah, you're just rolling and just roll
and
over.
And when
it,
the
probably.
Sun's out, it's probably a glare. Like I don't know. You're not paying attention to
and
that.
Like you said, there's probably, you know, like friggin' animal bones all over the place.
Yeah. It's the desert.
Yeah. You know? Like you just picture like, you know, longhorn, like cow, you know, with like yeah. just the skull just sitting out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome. To find one.
Yeah, it would be sweet. Not a femur.
Not a human femur.
Shit. So like we were saying, IDing these was challenging due to the decomposition, because the bodies were all skeletal with no soft tissue remaining. So they ended up using dental records, DNA analysis, and composite sketches, helped confirm the identities over the following year.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. They could confirm every single one.
Yeah, no,
and within the year, I thought that was
good.
Pretty.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Quick. Yeah, that's pretty quick. It sucks because it was just like harder for them to do it. You know?
Well, I think it helped too because they went into the database for like the missing persons database,
mm-hmm.
and thankfully every one of those women were labeled as missing persons.
Yeah,
I mean clearly.
Well, not nah, well, not thankfully, but
not thankfully, but like. Thankfully, meaning they were reported so they could be confirmed.
It was a lot easier to be like, okay, boom.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Got the list here. You got, you know, your, I don't know. Subjects, I guess is, no. That's not the best way to put it, but you know what I mean? Your samples.
Right.
You're
right.
Like samples of, you know, dental records and stuff.
Right.
And you can just be like, okay, this matches you, and you went through everybody. So that's good. But yeah, like you said, yeah, by 2010, all 11 were named, though 8 other missing women with similar profiles remained unaccounted for and are also considered possible victims. Also in June 2018, there was more bones that were found nearby, but they were identified as it was an ancient Indian burial ground.
Now,
this is how you get a poltergeist.
Yeah,
like this is how you get a goddamn poltergeist.
Good thing, like for those people that did plan on having their home built there. You've lucked out.
Yeah, you kind of got lucky.
Literally about to build on an ancient Indian burial ground
and a murder ground
and yes. a fucking like recent murder friggin' masquerade.
That's like you're trying to make a haunted house.
Yeah, this is how you make a
haunted house. It's like, all right, this is where we're building right fucking here. Oh man! All right, so let's get into the victims here. So the 11 confirmed victims were mostly young Hispanic women from Albuquerque aged 15 to 32, with ties to drugs and prostitution. They disappeared between 2003 and 2005, often last seen in the areas like Central Avenue or the war zone. One was pregnant and her fetus was also recovered, as we said, and here we go. So the first one we got here is, I'm going to try my best with these fucking names, but so we got Jamie Caterina Barella, who was 15. She disappeared April 3rd, 2004. She actually wasn't involved. She was the one who wasn't involved in any of that stuff, actually. Like, she wasn't involved with sex work. She was just like a regular teenager, but
yeah,
she just ended. Just, yeah, time, she ended up. Yeah, just disappearing. So she was last seen leaving a family gathering with her cousin Evelyn Salazar to visit a park near San Mateo and Gibson Southeast. She was a high school student described as fun-loving but rebellious. You know what? I am not doing all these names by myself, so
who
wants to go next?
Okay, so the next one is Monica Diana Candelaria.
Yeah, there we go.
So she's 22 years old, and she disappeared May 15th, 2003. She did have ties to drugs and prostitution and was last seen in Albuquerque's war zone. And family described her as kind-hearted, but she was struggling with addiction. And we'll see. That's a pretty big pattern.
Pretty here. Common thread, unfortunately, mm-hmm. Among the victims.
Yeah.
Cal, you're up.
All right, Victoria Ann Chavez, 26 years old, disappeared on June 5th, 2003, with, again, sex work and drugs, and would be known to frequent Central Avenue, the war zone. No. Oh, so he lands on the easy one.
Yeah, goddamn right. All right, so I got Virginia Cloven, who's 24. She disappeared April 13th, 2004. From Albuquerque, identified via DNA, and same as the others, drug ties as well. Here you go. Here's one for you, Amanda.
We have Celania Terrain or Terrene. I don't know if she's Hispanic or not. Celania Terrain Edwards.
She's actually not. This is the one black girl.
Oh, is it? Yes. Okay. And but it says 15. I didn't think
yeah,
she was.
Yeah, she was 15.
She was also 15?
Yeah.
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 Okay. So she disappeared August 17th, 2003. She was a runaway from Lawton, Oklahoma, the only African-American and out-of-state victim. Last seen May of 2004 in Aurora, Colorado, associating with sex workers under nicknames Mimi or Chocolate, staying at the Ranger Motel with women women named Lucretia, Ty, and Diamond. She identified via sketch and dental records.
Yeah, and that sketch I saw is like so spot on to the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Too. I mean, I just don't know how they do
those
that.
Guys are pretty damn good because I can't draw with a shit. So like I have zero understanding of how that's done.
Do that with like how much can you really say about someone's face? Like, well, their nose was big, but not too big. But
yeah, I feel like there's a lot of. The way I imagine they do it is they come over the base, and then just kind of like, okay, like look at it, you know, like, okay, like the nose was a little like upturned right there. Okay, you know, yeah, like, and then just kind of go from
they
there.
They can't just do that on one shot.
Yeah. It's like, look, it's like, the eyebrows were bigger, you know, like you had like butch your eyebrows or like, you know, something like that. So, I mean, I'm guessing that's how the process goes. I mean, unless people are really good at describing stuff, but I don't know. All right. So after that, we've got Cinnamon Elks, who was 32. She disappeared August 20th, 2004. She was actually the oldest victim and like the others, ties to drugs and prostitution.
All right. Then next we have Doreen Marquez, 24 years old, disappeared October 10th, 2003. Of course, drugs and sex work. Also a mother of two.
And then after that, we got Julie Cindy Nieto, 24 years old, disappeared July 15, 2004. And she had ties to the Central Avenue sex work scene.
Okay. Next we have Veronica Romero, 28, disappeared February 14, 2004. Drug addiction and prostitution, last seen in Albuquerque.
Valentine.
Bummer.
Now, are these when they were just, this is just when they reported as missing, correct?
This is the day they were reported as missing.
Like, this is the day they were reported as missing.
It might not have been the day.
So not necessarily the day they disappeared, but.
Well, this is as far as I know, this is the day that they're believed to have disappeared.
Okay, so maybe their last seen date.
Yeah, their last seen date.
Not their missing person date, but like the last seen date.
Not the date that the, you know, that it was filed. Okay. Yeah, the case was filed, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last time I saw her was, you know, on Valentine's Day. And,
yeah.
You know, last year.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
So. All right. Kyle, you want to take this last one?
Yeah. Evelyn Jesus Maria Salazar, 27 years old, disappeared March 26, 2004. This was the woman who was the cousin of Jamie Varela. Mm-hmm. So she was from Albuquerque, and they presumably got abducted together and both killed.
That's kind of why it seems like, yeah, unfortunately.
That's always, I always feel like that's pretty risky. I mean, you would think like if you're with somebody, it's easier to like be safe. You're like, oh, I'm hanging out with somebody. So, you know, we can help each other, protect each other. And then,
I mean, unfortunately, that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. But all right. And then we got one more there.
All right. So this was Michelle Gina Valdez. She was 22, disappeared September 22nd, 2004. She was unfortunately 4 months pregnant, and the remains included her unborn child. And she also had ties to drugs and sex work.
All right. And additionally, the 9 other women with the similar profiles disappeared between 2001 and 2006 and are considered possible victims. So we have Darlene Marie Trujillo, who was 20, disappeared in July of 2001. Martha Jo Lutcher, 32, disappeared September 2003. Anna Love Vigil, who was 20, January of 2005. Felipa Victoria Gonzalez, 22, April 2005. Nina Brenda Heron, 21, May 2005. Jillian Elizabeth Henderson Ortiz, 19, January 2006. Chantel Monique Waits, 29, March 2006. She disappeared. Leah Rochelle Peebles, who was 23, disappeared in May of 2006. And Vanessa Reed, who was 24 and disappeared in June 2006.
That feels like so many.
Yeah.
To me. Now, yeah. When were the first remains found? 2008, we said,
2008,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, and this was all in a similar area. This is why they're thinking that they possibly connected.
Mm-hmm.
God, I mean, yeah. I don't know what was going through if the cops were doing anything behind the scenes or not, or just like taking these names, but that just seems like so many with the same age range just disappearing, like
all in the same area too.
Really care when it comes to prostitutes?
No, well, I know it's the whole less dead thing that
I've heard about time and time again with it's prostitutes, drug addicts. They basically almost look at it as a waste of time.
Yeah. The only thing with the those other missing girls that they've never found, but I mean, the ones that were found in that one mass grave were all Hispanic, really, except for the one black girl.
Yes.
But the other ones are kind of all over the place. It just makes me wonder, not to say he didn't or it wasn't the same person, but, you know, I don't know. It was just like the MO is different.
Me, usually, I mean, it's obvious, especially with this dumping ground, whoever did this had a type.
Right.
So with all those other ones, I mean, he did, switch it up the one time, but who knows? That's the problem.
I mean, it could have been a, crime of opportunity as well. Like, his TV's getting these girls for sex up. Hey.
Yeah,
no one's going to miss her. She's alone.
Yeah.
Well, let's just do it now. Chance. You know,
I mean, that's one of the reasons why they're targeted more than anybody else, because
they think they're going to get away with it.
And I mean, most of the time they're fucking right. Honestly, like, unfortunately that's the case, but most of the time they are right. And it's finally when they, end up going after quote unquote, real victim, according to the way the police look at it, that's when it finally gets the attention.
Yeah.
So. All right. But let's look into the methodology here a little bit. So the killer's methods remain speculative due to the skeletal state of the remains. So, I mean, basically, you couldn't tell if he stabbed them to death. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to determine, a cause of death on some of these. And I think, actually, they settled on, strangulation, most likely.
They said either, strangulation.
Or suffocation.
Or just suffocation. Yeah. Because those things you're not going to see on bones. You might see, in stabbings or beatings or something, you might see something on the bones that could possibly identify that, but.
Yeah. I mean, something like that, you should be able to have some evidence of trauma. But I mean, if you're just throwing a plastic bag over somebody's head, it's not going to show up just from a skeleton.
No,
so,
no.
So they did say that the perpetrator likely operated during peak times like the state fair. When out of town victims like Solania Edwards can be ensnared. So, I don't know. Be careful at the fucking fair, guys, I guess. Like, watch out.
Somebody got shot at the,
county
fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't somebody just get shot? Jesus Christ.
Over here.
Yeah.
Last.
Oh, yeah. Last,
I don't know, August or whatever.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And yeah, just like a 20-minute drive from here, just about.
Dude, I can walk there.
Yeah, I know. Right. So, like we were saying, strangulation or suffocation seems to be the primary method. And this is also inferred from similar unsolved cases and the actions of what is probably the main suspect, in my opinion, Lorenzo Montoya, who actually strangled a sex worker. Like, it's confirmed that he had killed at least one person.
Mm-hmm. He does seem like the most likely.
He really does. So, yeah. And then, like I said, bodies were transported via vehicle to the remote sites. And then buried in clustered graves with, unfortunately, some overlapping. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's not going to dig everybody their own hole. So, yeah, just kind of throwing multiple into one.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, really seem to give a shit about them when they were alive. So, yeah. Why bother, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
No, pretty much. The use of plastic bags or duct tape is suspected based on evidence from the one suspect's home. And I think also they found some plastic, you know, at the site when they were unearthing bones and stuff like that. And he may have dismembered or wrapped bodies to facilitate burial. And the cessation of murders after 2005 aligns with increased site activity or the death of a suspect. Some theories posit multiple killers or a trafficking ring where victims were killed after becoming liabilities. No sexual assault evidence was recoverable, but the group burial points to a signature of control and disposal. I don't think it's multiple killers.
I agree. I never got that inkling.
I don't think so either.
I think you would have found out, like, if you had multiple killers. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like...
Yeah, but, well, it's like, okay, the victim profile is all the same.
Right.
Like, pretty much, it seems like most of the time, the, you know, like, the method of disposal is all basically the same. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just, I don't see, like, three different dudes, you know, like, dragging bodies to the same place and then doing, like, the Spider-Man meme where they're all fucking pointing at each other, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I just don't see that as a possibility. Second time I heard
somebody bring that up today.
Oh, really? Nice.
But it, no, it's a perfect way of saying it.
Yeah, so I really think it was just one person.
Unless, like, him and suspect number two, who we'll get to, were, like, good buddies. I mean,
nothing.
I never heard anything nothing about I them heard, being friends.
Yeah, nothing I heard during the research, you know, said anything about them even knowing each other.
If, like, so, if it was known that they were friends, I could see that. But there's not many people who work that. Like, what's his name? Otis Toole.
Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas.
Yeah. That's like the two dumbass buddy killers of all time.
Yeah. Well, then you got the, what is it? The Hillside Stranglers.
There was two of them.
There's two of those as well. They worked as a team. That's, all right. Okay. So let's get into, I mean, with this is being kind of a grim episode. Let's get into the kind of like the fun little theories of what the internet thinks this is.
Well, and that's what happens when there's so much mystery surrounding. You're going to get a lot of theories.
100%.
A lot of them just very, you know, outlandish theories or, you know, we don't have a lot to go with. We don't know how the girls died. We don't know who did it. Nope. There's just bones. So clearly people are just going to start talking.
Yep. This is a perfect one for the online detectives. So, would you like to take us through the first one?
Yeah, Kylie, you want to do it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I haven't really heard about this one, so let's see. So, one of the theories is that there is no individual West Mesa bone collector. It's just actually coordinated murders. By people running prostitution rings and like drug cartels to eliminate like some of these girls who knew too much, basically.
Saw something they shouldn't have.
Maybe seen something they shouldn't have, overheard something they shouldn't have. So it's like,
yeah,
well, we got to get rid of her because, you know, she's a liability.
Yep.
The theory gained traction on Reddit, where
of course it did.
Yeah,
of course it did.
Just noting how the victims had interconnected social circles. You know, they were basically all prostitutes, so they worked in the same area. So, I mean, maybe, but also you could say who's ever, you know, killing these people knows where to go to pick up a hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one, and I don't know, there was one rumor that flew in regarding one of the girls that there was a really crooked cop who was killing.
Well, you know what? It's really funny that you mentioned that. Why don't you tell us about number two?
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah, perfect. How about that? So the next theory we're going to bring up is dirty cops or a law enforcement cover up. So conspiratorial thread accuses Albuquerque police or other law enforcement of involvement either as perpetrators or in a cover-up. So this stems from criticisms from Albuquerque Police Department's handling of missing persons reports. So many victims were dismissed as, quote, runaways due to their lifestyles and the department's history of scandals, including a 2015 DOJ consent decree for excessive force. Now, fringe proponents point to a 2020 theory in Spanish language X posts, which is from an account discussing similar cases, that the killer was un agente de la ley, a law enforcement agent.
Very nice.
Possibly explaining the lack of arrests. Vice's 2014 article amplified this by noting local rumors of, quote, dirty cops preying on sex workers, with some even theorizing officers used the remote West Mesa site for disposals to avoid any scrutiny. This theory intersects with claims of a much broader cover-up. Why weren't satellite images acted on earlier? So some speculate that the police department ignored early tips to protect insiders, or that the 2018 discovery of unrelated ancient bones was a deliberate misdirection. On Reddit, users have linked this to other police-involved cases, suggesting the victim's informant status made them targets for silencing. Oh, so they're saying the victims may have been informants for the police?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
While not the most outlandish, it fuels distrust. With X posts from 2025 claiming MS-13 ties were suppressed to hide police complicity, though MS-13 links are unverified and likely borrowed from unrelated cases.
Yeah.
So what I heard, that's a big theory that it was like the police in general.
Yeah.
I just heard the term like it was a dirty cop. But
who was it? I think it was Cinnamon, I think, was reported as saying before she ended up disappearing, like basically said that like a dirty cop is cutting off women's heads and burying them in West Mesa.
Yeah. Cinnamon said that.
One of them actually said that. So
I didn't know that was one of the victims who said that. I thought that was just one of the rumors.
Yeah, allegedly she had said that before she disappeared. There was a dirty cop who was cutting. Now, granted, none of the bodies were decapitated, so it's kind of like, I don't know, but.
Yeah, you feel like you would have
known. She had the location, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
There were multiple rumors with that location.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So people knew there is somebody who knows something, and that's just, you know, probably that war zone. It's either, you know, they spread rumors, but maybe not to the right, you know, maybe just not going to the police, and they just maybe just keep it amongst themselves. Like, hey, stay away from, you know, this person, or hey, word on the street is this is happening. But I just hate how all of those rumors were just unconfirmed.
Yeah.
Like nobody went up and searched West Mesa. It wasn't like there was one rumor. There was multiple.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right. So All right, our next theory here. It was Jeffrey Epstein.
Of course.
Jeffrey Epstein did it, and his elite sex trafficking conspiracy. So a highly speculative theory connects the murders to Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch, which was about 60 miles from the burial site. So, of course, this was popularized on X in 2025 amid the Epstein file releases. This posits the victims were trafficked to the ranch for elite clients and disposed of on the West Mesa. Proponents cite Epstein's New Mexico ties. He owned the ranch from 1993 until his 2019 death, and his sex trafficking conviction, suggesting the site's isolation facilitated body dumps. I mean, okay. A December 2025 X thread speculated Epstein's ranch plus West Mesa bodies equals missing victims from his network, tying it to political conspiracies. This overlaps with sex trafficking ring ideas, but escalates to involve celebrities or politicians, with some claiming the 2005 cessation alongs with Epstein's 2008 plea deal scrutiny.
Oh, so they're saying the killing stopped. It makes sense why they stopped.
Yeah.
At that time.
This one, that's just...
I think this is a far stretch.
Yeah, this one, it's basically, oh, he owned a house that was kind of close. But like, even though 60 miles isn't even
really... 60 miles for me is not close.
No. I mean, out west, it's a little bit different. But still, I mean...
He's a bad dude. He's bad.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Dumb,
horrible shit.
But
I don't think
he's the bone collector.
No.
To this.
As much as I'd like to blame it on that piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I don't want to talk ill of the dead, but I don't think these girls are really his style. I mean,
you think he would get more like escorts?
Escorts? He's got money.
Yeah.
Like, why go to the war zone in Albuquerque to pick up, you know,
I mean, dude,
your entertainment for all your rich buddies?
He took pretty much, like, I mean, like, I'm not trying to say this to, say bad things about the dead and, you know, the alive as well, I suppose. But I mean, he took pretty much anybody, like, honestly, like, it wasn't like a lot of the ones that he trafficked, like, they weren't, you know, like that high level escort.
You probably
that you
just
think
had
of.
To be pretty.
Like, yeah. Yeah. You just had to be. Yeah. Just cute enough. You know,
he's got a great personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, Jeffrey.
I
feel like this one's
total
bullshit.
I think
this
is a far reach. I think, it's 60 miles away. That's far.
There is literally no proof whatsoever. Like, even, we said with the one dirty cop, you know, with what Cinnamon said, like, that's something.
Yeah.
This doesn't even have that. This is just, he had a house that was near, kind of, 60 miles. Not really.
And honestly, I feel like there would have been a rumor about that, like, on the street, like, hey, there's a really rich dude.
Yeah, that really
here.
Rich guy. That
you know,
over there,
like, hey, everybody knows about that rich guy.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like that would set someone apart. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, he's not just, oh, hey, did you go to that rich guy? Yeah.
I mean, even to him just driving through to, like, pick them up in, you know, on whatever Central Street or whatever, like, you know, he's not rolling up in, like, some beat up fucking old Buick, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
or even if he's not the one.
Yeah, he wouldn't even be the one.
You're going to get picked up by so-and-so, but there's a rich guy's house, like, we're going to. There'd be a rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like an evil supervillain. Like, he doesn't do that kind of shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's grunt work. So, all right. Who wants to take the next one?
Oh, boy. Okay. So the next one, next theory is the occult or satanic ritual killings. Venturing into the paranormal, some theories frame the murders as occult rituals. A January 2026 X post. I hate saying X. To me, it's still Twitter, but
whatever. You can just say Twitter. It's fine. Everybody knows what the fuck you're talking about.
I know.
So.
January 2026 X post linked the case to, quote, human trafficking, informants, and the occult with serial killers, compiling a, quote, checklist of supposed patterns like ritualistic burials. This draws from the victims' clustered graves, interpreted as sacrificial sites, and ties to New Mexico's folklore, aka near ancient native sites. Reddit users have speculated ties to Santeria or Brujeria, given the Hispanic victims or even cartel, the Santa Muerte cults. You know, I don't know. I don't know Maybe. That they meant this ritual. I just think that that was probably a vacant land that he's just like
this isolated spot.
It's a good isolated spot. You know, I don't think I'm a fan of that one. I don't think
probably not.
I don't think that guy thought too hard. I just think he said, oh, no one's here. Desert.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, when we actually get to the suspect list here, the main guy is a fucking retard. So,
yeah.
But whatever. Kyle, you want to take the next one here?
Okay. Yeah. This is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I didn't it's hear fun, about this. It's fun. The most outlandish theory attributes the murders to a non-human killer.
Holy shit.
A malevolent supernatural entity like a demon.
Where did you even find that, Kevin?
On X.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
okay. So you have December 25, X post user claims extensive research and concluding this after noting the victim's vulnerabilities and the site's desolation. Echoes Native American lore about skinwalkers or cursed lands in the Southwest, with some tying it to the 2018 when the ancient bones they were found.
The Indian burial ground.
The Indian burial ground. Yeah. The aforementioned Indian burial ground.
Yes.
As evidence of a haunted area. So the proponents argue that the lack of DNA or cause of death evidence points to otherworldly intervention and not human error.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Now, how about the lack of evidence is the fact that these bones have been in nature for years and years and years.
In the hot fucking desert.
And guess what? There is, well, they found the dental report, but this guy, he wrapped him in plastic. He buried him probably naked. There's nothing here. The lack of DNA evidence is because years of, you know, nature eroding them. The guy dumped them without any evidence or without any, I don't know. But this is stupid.
I know.
Yeah. No, you didn't move the bodies.
I know, right? Yeah, fucking Zozo killed him. I don't know. Whoever did this is really loves cops, too. It's just like, oh, it was a demon that did it. Like, there's no way they didn't solve it because some of the cops were fucking up. Like, no, it's because they're trying to catch a demon.
My God.
Yeah. You can't arrest a demon.
Go ahead and try to arrest a skinwalker. See what happens.
Yeah, see what happens.
See what happens.
He'll turn into a snake and slip right out of those handcuffs.
It'll eat your face.
All right. Well, let's get into another dumb one. The sixth theory here is that it was an MK Ultra style government experiment or a cult.
Oh boy,
Jesus!
So, for those of you who are unfamiliar, MK Ultra was an actual true government program way back in the day, but is hopefully long since been shut down. So. So in a bizarre crossover, a December 2025 Twitter post jokingly, or perhaps seriously, claimed the case was solved by a cult of Mormon bee farmers trained in assassination techniques by the MK Ultra program.
It's hilarious. Wait, read that again. Say that again.
I was going to say
that's a sentence. Right there.
Let me say that just one more time. So it was a cult of Mormon bee farmers. Who were trained in assassination techniques by the MK Ultra program.
Is this person on LSD?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that person's involved with the fucking...
The person who posted this Twitter post? This is... Okay, go on. Just go.
That's possibly the dumbest sentence I've ever read in my entire life.
I can't think of any more, like, weird things. I never thought I'd see all those words in one sentence.
I know, right? Come
on. Cult of Mormon bee farmers trained in assassination techniques by the MK Ultra program.
So were they using the bees to assassinate people?
I guess.
Was that the point of the bees?
I mean, this sounds like an awesome video game. So, like, I would play the fuck out of this.
I was going to say, oh, no, those were murder hornets. They weren't murder bees.
Yes, they were.
Never mind. I was thinking of back in COVID days. Go on. Trained in assassination.
this satirizes conspiracy tropes, but reflects theories linking the murders to CIA mind control experiments. Like I said, MK Ultra ended in 1973, but lives on. I mean, it officially ended in 1973, but
no one knows what they're doing.
It kept fucking going for a while.
Nobody knows what the government's doing.
Some extend this to government testing on marginalized groups with the West Mesa as a disposal site. It's rare, but it is present in deep web forums. So,
I mean, it's hilarious to read about it, yes. But that it's not true. I mean, that, in this case,
that might possibly be dumber than the occult or the demon theory. Like, I didn't think we were going to get dumber.
So hard for anyone to believe that there's just was a serial killer.
I know.
Right? Why? Why is that so hard to believe?
A serial killer is bad enough. Why are you trying to make it worse?
Dude, trust me, the devil. We like good theories here. We love aliens, time travel, all that stuff. But come on, guys. Yeah. Like, this is a serial killer. We just didn't find
100%. This is some asshole who probably got killed, and that's why they never found him. But, like, that's all this is. This is some asshole who killed prostitutes because he was a shithead.
Right.
All right. And the last one here is it has connections to other famous unsolved cases. So there's also fringe links that include tying the bone collector to the Zodiac killer, the Black Dahlia murder, or the I-70 killer based on vague MOs like targeting women. They're like, okay, they all killed women, so he must be the same guy.
Well, then the I-70 was potentially Baumeister, right? Was
that Baumeister?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's all the way like on the other side of the country too.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Well, it wasn't her, but like they thought like they were correlated.
Oh, okay.
So like he wasn't actually the I-70 killer. They never caught the I-70 killer.
Yeah.
So.
But they were
hanging out in the same area though, basically. So. A 2025 Twitter post speculated Zodiac cipher maps point to New Mexico, while others claim Samuel Little, who confessed to 93 murders. Maybe we'll do him one day. He was a fucking nutbag.
Yeah. I just actually read something about him from an episode of Ghost Adventures.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that guy.
He was brought up.
Yeah, that motherfucker was nuttier than a payday bar, so.
Yeah. Nuttier than squirrel shit.
Yep, exactly.
You sound like 70-year-old men, right? Like, oh, nuttier than a payday bar.
Fuck you, was funny.
But I actually had my own theory about something, but I was just looking up something and
about
it got shot
bar?
The shell.
Oh, okay. But was it a theory about payday bars?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was thinking David Parker Ray, toy box
killer. Yeah, the toy box killer, yeah.
He did, you know, his shit in, like, Elephant Butte, but they're both, like, right in the middle of New Mexico. Like, they can't be that far away. And, like, he did have, like, his own sort of, like, dumping ground, so to speak.
Yeah.
Few dumping grounds.
Yeah, obviously. He had a couple of different ones. That dude was fucked up. Fuck that guy.
Oh, beyond
fucked up. That guy was one of the most fucked up serial killers ever.
But this really would look like something he would do, except that he was, like, busted in, like, the late 90s. And
he was, and like...
He died in 2002 in prison, so... And that son of a bitch didn't even, like, get... He didn't even, like, spend due time.
Really. No.
He was only in jail for son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get to him at some point, too. But, yeah, that guy was fucking... Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if he wouldn't have gotten busted, I would have been, like... I think I would have heard about it more, too, because I was thinking about it, and I'm like, why is no one, like, brought up... They're going to bring up, like, demons and not talk about David Parker Ray, but... It's just not possible.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he had a little bit more flair for the dramatic, too, than this guy. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So let's get into the actual investigation and things like that. So the APD led the investigation, forming a task force in 2009 with FBI assistance. The key efforts included DNA profiling, satellite imagery analysis, and public appeals for tips. Detective Ida Lopez had compiled a list of missing women as early as 2005. Ida Lopez is like the only, seems like the only cop who actually tried to do anything about this.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. So, like, hardly listen to her until like, I think until the bones.
Not until they found the bones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, ah, crazy women with their conspiracies.
I know.
But yeah, apparently she started compiling a list in 2005 of like all the women that were going missing. So she had almost her own personal database of this kind of stuff. So she was dubbing them the 118th Street homicides after the burial site's proximity. There was a $100,000 reward that actually remains active to this day for information leading to an arrest. And in 2010, the APD actually released photos of unidentified women potentially linked, some of whom were later found alive or deceased unrelatedly. So they actually, I saw like kind of like a video about this. They got these pictures from someone who they thought was a suspect. It was, I can't remember the guy's name, but I think it was like some dude from like Joplin, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was like a photographer and had a bunch of pictures of, you know, women and stuff like that. And they eventually ruled him out. But I guess during the course of him being a suspect in this case, it kind of like ruined him a little bit,
yeah,
which sucks.
I'm not sure why living so far away would have even been brought up, but those pictures must have been fucked up.
Yeah.
But this brings up a question right now, because you said APD released photos of unidentified women potentially linked, some of who were later found alive.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything to say?
Some of the photos that they got from this guy who was uninvolved in the case.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
So that's why, yeah.
So they're just, these are just pictures of
women. These are just pictures
women.
Of random women that they found like on this guy's camera and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. And
but then
when
how
they
do
were,
you know if they're alive or deceased?
Well, they found when they finally identified them and found them, they're like, oh, this woman's alive, obviously. So
no murder charge here. Talk to them.
Or they, you know,
okay.
Found ones like, oh, she died, but she died in a car accident, you know, or something like that. Like,
yeah.
She didn't disappear. So searches of different suspects' properties yielded no direct evidence, and no DNA from the killer was found at the site. Probably
you're not gonna find it.
Yeah, like probably because all you found is bones. So
yeah,
you know, with everything else, it's just gonna, you know, disintegrate, and just be
get
gone
eaten by the desert.
Yeah, get eaten by the desert, basically. All right. So the criticisms of law enforcement are significant and center on systemic biases. Advocates like Christine Barber of Safe Streets, New Mexico, argued that the APD failed to take missing persons reports seriously because the victims are sex workers and drug users, often dismayed as runaways or high risk lifestyles, as we said. Despite the multiple disappearances reported between 2003 and 2005, there was no public alerts issue.
I have a big issue with that.
Yeah, give me a break.
Come on. So even if you think that some of these people are just transient and, hey, they could be still around, it's like, no, hey, these are all women, same, you know, around the same age.
Yep.
They're all deemed missing. Like, hey, let's at least, even if we're not actively, you know, putting a bolo out for them, like just looking for them, at least notify the public.
Yeah.
Just, like, hey, you know, we don't know what's going
keep
on.
Keep an eye out. We've had some missing people.
15 to 30-year-old Hispanic woman.
Yeah.
Watch your back.
Stop walking around at night by yourself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no public alerts, which definitely allowed the killer to continue. So, like we were saying, this less dead phenomenon where the victims receive less attention delayed the connection of the cases. The department's broader issues, including a 2015 U.S. Department of Justice consent decree for civil rights violations, which they had a lot during this time, mostly excessive force, have been cited as indicative of deeper problems. Forensic challenges like the lack of cause of death evidence compound issues. But critics point to insufficient canvassing of sex work areas or follow-up on tips.
That is huge. Like I said, there were plenty of rumors that said, hey, these girls were murdered and buried at West Mesa.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Crickets. Nothing happened.
Crickets.
Nothing happened.
As of 2025, the APD supports new DNA legislation to expand familial searches and cold case funding, acknowledging past limitations in solving such cases. So, okay, apparently, as of 2025, they're trying to do better.
Good job.
Yeah, way to go.
20 years
too late. Yeah, I was going to say, it is 20 years too late.
Right on time. So... families and journalists have criticized the slow pace, with some noting that early leads, like Lopez's list, weren't publicized widely enough. The case, of course, remains unsolved. The case unsolved status, has fueled speculation, including a 2024 true crime documentary series and ongoing media coverage. I want to find that documentary series,
I didn't hear about that. I know that there is a movie based off of this.
Yeah.
Called The Boneyard. And that was...
Who stars in that movie?
Was that Mel Gibson and 50 Cent?
50 Cent.
That's such an odd...
I haven't heard of it, but...
That's such an odd pair.
You know, it has to be... Obviously, it's loosely based on it because of all of the lack of evidence and the mystery involving about this. But I never heard of it. So I would like to... Knowing what I know now about this case, I would like to go back and just watch it and see kind of what they did.
Yeah,
their own theory like with it, you know.
I would as well. Hopefully they didn't embellish too much, because that annoys me.
I'm sure they didn't do any ritualistic or like the cult.
They find out it's a demon at the end.
No. I wouldn't be surprised if they made it a Jewish guy. So, I guess it just makes the movies like it was a Jew did it. Like,
just to piss off Mel Gibson.
Oh, no. If it's Mel Gibson's movie, of course he's going to make the Jew the bad guy. fuck. But, all right. So let's get into a suspect list here. So no one was ever even charged, unfortunately, but APD did have a short list of persons of interest developed by 2009. So first off, we're going to go with the main one, the guy who I personally think
he checks did most this. The boxes.
He does. He checks the most boxes. So we're talking about Lorenzo Montoya. He was considered the strongest suspect by many, including me. He only lived 1 to 2 miles away from the burial site in the South Valley.
So that already makes sense. Like, Jeffrey Epstein lived 60 miles away.
I know.
Whoever made that bullshit ex-conspiracy or Reddit.
Some dipshit.
Like, come on, you guys are...
And, like, he lived on a fucking compound. Like, just bury him on your property.
Right?
That's the safest place.
That's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
Yeah, but, I mean, with the way he's connected and fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I probably, at the time, possibly respected. I say that with air quotes. Yeah. I don't know, but fuck him. But,
yeah.
You know, like, they'd have to do some serious, like... Plus, he was, like, buddy-buddy with the governor. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're not going to have to search his property.
But this is, 1 to 2 miles from the burial site. That, to me, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. He also had a history of violence against sex workers, and he was arrested twice for assault. In December 2006, though, he strangled 19-year-old sex worker Sharika Hill at his home. Her boyfriend or pimp, either one, ended up shooting him dead during the incident. So apparently, I guess he had killed her. He had her like wrapped up, and he was in the process of dragging her out when her boyfriend showed up, and he ended up shooting him.
Yeah, so, he's like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. Apparently, his co-workers reported that he boasted literally about killing women and burying them on the West Mesa.
Oh my God, I would fucking arrest
those people for like.
Yeah, you're not reporting a crime,
dude. Like, you knew this guy murdered people.
I can see it both ways. You know, what
almost
I mean?
Aiding and abetting.
Like it's like almost I mean, hindsight is 2020, of course. So, like, I can kind of see it both ways. It's like, that's just, You know, like he just says fucked up shit, like whatever. Like, yeah, you know,
I mean,
this is funny. I don't. But oh my God. It's just like, you have, yeah, I kill women, I bury them yeah. on West Mesa.
I'm
like,
I'm literally exactly where I do it. Yeah.
Oh my
God. I mean, God. If it's me, like, honestly, like, I'm just not talking to that dude at work anymore. I'm just like, eh, that guy's fucking weird. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it would go as far as like, we need to call the police right now. You know, like if they had found.
But if he's boasting about yeah. it, it's not like he's just like.
I mean, if I.
Well, the thing is like, as soon as they made the discovery, then you're like, hey, pretty. You might want to look at this guy.
Right.
Like that. But
I'd probably if I
before with anybody him, knew anything.
Yeah. If I worked with him, I'd probably be like. It's actually not. Funny. I mean, like, are you fucking serious? Like, and maybe if like he continues being like, yeah, fuck them. They're just like prostitutes. Let's fucking kill them and bury them out in the desert. I might be like, I think this dude's serious.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it would just, the way would have to be, you know, like I would have to be present to see how the
conversation happened.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, if he's like, I fucking kill him, but, you know, like, that kind of shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, he's just fucking around being a freaking, you know, dumbass. But if it went down like how you just described it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that might be looking into. So it's like, that's all I'm coming from with there. Let's see here. Oh, also, I guess when the police were... investigating his murder, they ended up searching his house and everything like that, and I guess they found a home video that showed him, he was basically fucking possibly a dead woman. We don't know, she was either dead or unconscious.
Yeah,
so there was a video of him doing that.
Ugh.
And then it actually fades to black and then basically comes back in. And did you guys hear about this tape?
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, did you watch it?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean,
you can watch it.
You can't. I mean, obviously, like not the first part, but when it comes back, it's basically just it's fucking creepy because it's literally a shot of it just up against a wall. Basically, like all you can just see is like the wall, but then in the background you hear what sounds like duct tape being pulled apart and like plastic being ruffled around. And it's like, it's only like 25 seconds or something like that, but it's just like,
yeah, that's funny.
It is weird. Like, so, and I knew what came before this, you know, which yeah. I'm not saying. So, but yeah.
So they know even if they never do anything about the West Mesa murders and him, we for sure know that he killed two people. Or do they think that video was just the one girl?
Well, we know about Sharika.
We know about her.
They don't know. As far as I know, the woman in the video was never identified. So there's no way to know whether she was actually dead or if he was just, you know, assaulting someone, you know, yeah. who was unconscious. So.
So for at least he killed one person.
He at the
very
sure,
minimum killed
sure,
one person.
At least killed one person.
Highly likely killed like
12
others.
A bunch, yeah. Until he got the bright idea to start filming it.
12 yes. plus other missing people
plus,
that we don't know.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
There's also dirt trails that linked his trailer to the site, and the murders seem to have stopped right after his death.
They linked his trailer to the site? I always thought that the dirt trails, they saw that the dirt trails kind of led like to the way where his house was, mm-hmm. but they yeah, actually they linked the trailer to the site.
According to this,
I don't think I saw that it went to his trailer. It was like heading in that direction.
It probably, right. you know, it probably means like it went like into the park.
It was heading, you know, that direction. Like heading, he probably got way. On like a regular street at some point, you know. And like,
yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he lived in a trailer park, so you know, you just got that, you know, turn in pretty much. So yeah. that's probably what it meant. Is it, you know, connected to that? So
yeah.
But yeah, I'm like I said, I'm pretty convinced this is the fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You mean it's pretty.
Out of all the suspects, like, I mean, out of all the suspects, I'm putting
he's got
like
the most.
85% of my stuff on him. You know
I agree.
What I mean?
Yeah.
But there is another asshole that's kind of involved with this. So who wants to tell us about Joseph Blea?
I will, I guess.
Okay.
So Joseph Blea, a.k.a. the mid-school rapist.
That's a terrible nickname. That well, is good. Nowhere, that is nowhere near as cool as the West Mesa Bone Collector. Yeah.
So Joseph Blea, he's been investigated since 2014. He's a convicted serial rapist serving 90 years for assaults on girls aged 13 to 15 near McKinley Middle School in the 80s and 90s. DNA linked him to a 1988 sex worker murder. Frequented sex work areas. He also had over 130 police contacts. A tree tag from his family nursery was found at the site. And he possessed women's underwear and jewelry not belonging to his family. He told a cellmate that he had hired West Mesa victims and called them trashy. His ex-wife tipped police shortly after the discovery. He denies any involvement. No direct ties found.
It's not trashy.
I was going to say, I really don't think you're
in a position. Banging a bunch of hookers when you have a wife and daughter at home? Like,
yeah. And we'll also to be like raping a bunch of kids back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. I really don't think you have any place to call anybody else trashy.
No.
Honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, just see this guy's mugshot, you're like,
ugh. Oh, yeah, he's a piece of shit.
This was the only other guy that I thought, like, first, I'm like, well, I don't know if this is his MO. His ML is pretty disgusting. His ages are 13 to 15.
Yeah.
You know, but then it was that tree tag and the fact that his wife tipped off police, like, hey, my husband's a piece of shit. You know, it's like, yep. Oh, God, yeah, if she thinks that, like, I mean, and this is, I mean, this sounds kind of gross, but like, I don't know. Couldn't they, I mean, I guess if he has collected underwear, I don't know. Is there any DNA or something off of the undies? Like, I mean, it's been years, but I mean, he's a piece of shit. He probably hasn't washed those things. He probably sits there and sniffs them. I doubt it. There's no way he'd wash those. It's creepy.
Well, no, they lose their aura when you do that. So,
but I don't know.
And like, it seems like his wife had to have known about all the shit he's doing. Like, he's getting in trouble for diddling.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, she might have, gotten together with him, like, after that. Because, like, he actually didn't get in trouble for that, like, like we were saying, until, what was it, like,
2014?
Yeah, it was 2014 when he started getting investigated. But, I mean, obviously, if you can't tell after a month or two, whether or not who you're with is a piece of shit, like, then, I don't know, you just need to be more perceptive, I guess. And
honestly, I don't think it's him because, okay, you're already serving 90 years. Just fucking admit it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, all those murders were me. Like, I'm already in here, but all those murders, I did that. I don't know.
He's basically got life, So. Yeah.
Either that or he could be like, hey, I'll admit to it. I'll tell you where the bodies are if you don't give me any more than what I already have. Yeah. I'm already in here for 90 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I don't think so.
I don't think it's him. He's a huge piece of shit, but I don't think it was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... I mean, the first guy...
But that tree tag, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lorenzo, the tree tag is weird.
It is weird.
It seems like too much of a coincidence.
I do agree.
It's circumstantial, though. Like, it doesn't prove anything. So, all right, so after that, we're getting into some of the lesser-known ones. We got Fred Reynolds.
At first, I was thinking it was Frank Reynolds.
I know. I like to bang a lot of whores. Yeah. My name is Frank Reynolds, and I like to bang a lot of whores.
I like a taste of the high life, you sack of shit.
I love Frank Reynolds. Frank Reynolds is my fucking favorite.
I only got a couple more years left. I'm going to get real weird with it.
Smashing it under the table. Sorry. All right. So Fred Reynolds, his brother, I guess.
Fred's brother.
Was a pimp who died of natural causes in January 2009, just before the discovery. He knew several of the missing women and possessed photos of sex workers who vanished. He was linked to one victim, but there was no concrete evidence.
I don't think that's him.
I don't think he.
Of course, yeah. I think he would have photos of sex worker if he's a pimp.
Well, if he's a pimp,
like, he's probably marketing them. Like,
yeah,
hey, exactly.
Pictures. Yeah, he's like those dudes in Vegas who like have the trading cards of like all the
the card. Like flippers or the whatever.
Exactly. They just like have cards of like the escorts and shit. Like they're like, you know, baseball cards, but for hookers.
Yeah. So. they're everywhere.
No. Okay. Yeah. This Ron Irwin, that's the photographer that we were talking about earlier. Yeah, I'll just go through this guy really quick. He was the photographer from Joplin. And he visited the state fair. Police searched his properties in 2010, seizing thousands of photos of women, but he was later cleared as a suspect. I'm not really sure how they got onto him in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know, unless he makes a really big splash every time he goes to the New Mexico State Fair.
Maybe he has
a prior of being voyeurism or something.
Yeah, possibly.
Or something, just and he has a lot of photos of women. Oh, by the way, you were in New Mexico at this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
maybe that wasn't something that, well, I guess they searched him in 2010. Mm. Yeah, maybe, who knows?
Oh, that was weird.
They probably just found out somehow that, you were here at this time? Geez, we knew you were a creep, but maybe you're more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, Joplin was kind of cool, and I actually spent the night there.
A
couple of years back. So yeah, nice little area.
Where were you driving to?
I was on my way to West Yellowstone.
Okay, nice.
Didn't it get freaking?
It did.
Destroyed?
It got destroyed by a tornado, probably 6 months after I was there.
So it was
actually really weird because like I was like thinking because like you know like you're traveling through stuff like you meet people and shit and I was like damn I was like is that dude I met at the bar like is that guy still alive it's weird like thinking like that kind of shit.
I was wondering if I thought when you said not that long ago I thought that you'd been there after that and wondered if it was still messed up.
No. I mean like I'm sure it's fine now, but yeah, no, it was actually like. Yeah, something probably like 6 months before that huge tornado. So
yeah, that's crazy, man.
I
would not want to live like the tornado alley area, man.
Yeah, tornadoes are fucked. are fucking crazy.
We actually live in a very good place. Like, we don't have a lot of we don't have hurricanes. We're not in tornado alley.
Yeah.
We don't even have freaking bears. Or scary wildlife.
We don't have like cougars and shit, like giant kitties trying to murder you.
Yes, that's terrifying. Like, yeah.
I remember one time when we used to live at that house in Columbia, I swear to God, I think I heard a bobcat one time.
Oh, really?
Dude, it was crazy. I was outside grilling steaks and I just heard like so loud, but like, so far away, but yet still loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like other people heard it too, because it happened like three times.
Wow,
I saw some other people come out of their house and being like looking around, like what the hell?
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Like, going inside, I'm taking these steaks off this grill.
I'm just calling him at this point. So
I always wondered what the hell that was, but I looked up like bobcats. It sounded exactly like that.
No shit. Yeah, fuck that.
That's weird.
All right. When you want the next one?
Sure, I'll go. Convicted Colorado serial killer Scott Lee Kimball claimed in 2010 that he was under investigation for the West Mesa case, but he denied involvement. There's really no strong links.
So what does that even mean?
I mean, it's...
He was already a serial killer who was like... Who claimed in, so they just,
well,
he claimed he was under investigation.
He said that they were investigating him, but he wasn't. I think he was already arrested.
Yeah,
like, in
he was already convicted.
Like, I didn't do this. Yeah. No reason to lie, really.
He was probably in the area around the time. And one of the things is, that they seem to like to do when they finally catch a serial killer, they try to clear as many other cases as they can.
Well,
you know,
and honestly, so, that kind of makes sense, though.
It does. It
by
does.
The time somebody's caught, you know, they have a lot under them already. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about them. And it's like, okay, well, maybe you can, you know, let's find any similarities.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's probably as much as that. It's like, hey, you killed a bunch of people and you were here at this time. Like, did you do some of these? Like, it's probably the extent. Of,
yeah.
That's probably the extent of the fucking questioning. So, and then we also have the unnamed El Salvadorian suspect that we talked about before.
The random El Salvadorian.
The random El Salvadorian. It's like, yeah, that's him. Like,
why bother saying anything?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, right.
Like,
anonymous tip, no details or developments.
Yep.
No, not even a name. Some guy from El Salvador.
Then how do you know he's from El Salvador? Didn't tell
well,
you?
That's what the tip said. It's like, it's this random guy from El Salvador.
Yeah.
All right. So the current status of the case as of January 2026 is still unsolved with no arrests. The APD continues to seek tips via 502-242-COPS.
Wrong. 505.
505. Sorry. 505-242-COPS. I would have fucked somebody over trying to give a tip.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I think it's this dude from Nicaragua. So, but, yeah, like I said, recent developments included the support for that DNA bill that we mentioned earlier, and then there was that documentary series to raise awareness. The families hold vigils annually, hoping for closure in a tragedy that exposed the perils faced by society's most vulnerable.
I hate to say this, but this case is never going to be solved.
No, 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 it's not going to happen.
This case will never be solved.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Lorenzo, was that his name?
Montoya.
Yep.
I mean, I think it was him, but
I think it was too.
And with him being shot and killed,
at this
and,
point,
like,
we're never
just
gonna
mentioned
know.
That they can't get like deceased people's DNA for whatever reason. I think, you know, there's like legal loopholes or drawbacks or whatever.
Mm.
I think they could pin it on him, but they can't.
Yeah,
because they don't have access to his DNA.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but if they have access to his DNA, what are they gonna?
Well, they don't have anything to.
They don't have anything to
compare it against because there was never any other DNA found at the site. So that's the problem.
Yeah,
because any of the other possible DNA that was left there was destroyed because you know everything decomposed. So, they do have a park at the spot now. I've seen. That has, you know, around the park, it has all the names of the victims. And like you were saying, too, the dog who discovered the first bone.
Yeah,
made it there.
The dog.
Yep.
That's so cute.
That's awesome. So at least there's something nice there. You know, at least they didn't leave it a field. Like they do have some kind of, they do have a, you know, memorial there, which is cool.
I wonder if they thought about, the only way that I think this case would be solved is, I don't know, like, if they actually found, the guy lives at a trailer park, but if they dug up something there, not that there's probably no place to bury something, but you never know. I mean, I'm sure they obviously looked at that guy's stuff through and through, especially because
he's
deceased.
I mean, they found the tape, so.
They found the tape
and went through his stuff, so.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting case, but unfortunately, it's just going to be a bunch of theories.
Pretty much.
Because you can't know everything.
Some way better than others.
Yeah, unless somehow there's other Google Earth images.
yeah. You could finally, you know, get one that literally shows him dragging a body and burying it.
Yeah.
But I guess not. But yeah, so that is the unsolved West Mesa murders. I mean, I think Lorenzo Montoya, are we all kind of in agreement on
I
that?
I would say so.
I mean, that's who I think it
is. As far as the suspects that we know about,
correct.
That's the, you know, that makes the most sense.
It's too bad that boyfriend or pimp or whatever, you know, killed him.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, though.
It was the heat of the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that, too, though. But yeah, I mean, like,
obviously dangerous. And you just killed your girlfriend or your best girl or whatever.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah. So, thank you, everybody, for checking this out. If you guys have any goofy-ass theories, like Reddit posts and... ex-posts have.
Side note, too, there was, yeah. I don't think we brought up, but he was also, like, got arrested one time for assaulting a prostitute, like, after the, like, he was about to kill her, and a cop, like, stopped him at the end of the road.
I heard that story, too.
And, like, he had no intention of paying her, because he only had, like, $2 in his wallet. So... Like he was gonna kill her.
He was totally gonna kill her.
I mean, there, you got that too.
Yep,
that fucking guy did it.
Yeah, like, he fucking did it. Yeah, yeah, that's what I think so too. But yeah, what do you guys think? You know, was it Lorenzo? Was it the satanic cult? Was it fucking aliens? Like, what do you guys think?
The Mormons?
Yeah, was it the Mormon beekeepers?
Training assassinations
by MK Ultra. Was it them?
Wow.
I know is that I want to call him something much shittier than the West Mesa Bone Collector. Mm-hmm. I think that's too cool of a name.
It is too cool.
And yeah. I hate that for a guy who got away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that guy. That guy's a fucking dickhead. You know what? That guy doesn't even deserve a fucking nickname. Fuck that asshole.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because it's late and I'm tired and I can't think of anything. He doesn't deserve a nickname. But yes. So yeah, once again, thank all you guys. Appreciate it. And yeah, on behalf of Lopotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Take care.
Till next time.